जय राधव कुंजाबिहारी जय राधव कुंजाबिहारी जय राधव कुंजाबिहारी जय राधव कुंजाबिहारी गोपी जनवाब गिरिवार धारी गोपी जनवाब गिरिवार धारी गोपी जनवाब गिरिवार धारी गोपी जनवाब गिरिवार धारी किशोर नंदना बद जन्ना रंजना सोर नंदना बद जन्ना रंजना यशोदा नंदना बद जन्ना रंजना नंदना बद जन्ना रंजना जमुना तीरावन जाहरी तीरावन जामुना तीरावन जाहरी तीरावन जय राधा माधव गुंजा बिहारी आदमा गुंजा बिहारी गोपी जनवा गिरिवार धारी गोपी जनवा गिरिवार धारी चौदा नंदनावर जनरंजना सोरा नंदना बद जनरंजना जमुना तीरावन जाहरी तीरावन जमुना तीरावन जाहरी तीरा जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमं सपरिवार जगाचार्य स्तोत्र ऋषि श्रीमान सुबाइंगरी से श्री भक्ति भ्रांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय आनंद गुर वैष्णविंद की जय नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम श्री गौर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री राधा गौर भक्तविंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम गुण राधगुण गिर गौरान की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय मायापुर धाम की जय कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी की जय ग्लोरी से समुद्र भोतीस ग्लोरी से समुद्र भोतीस ग्लोरी से समुद्र भोतीस ग्लोरी से श्री श्री गुरु वंश गंगा सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत एंड the verse or the chapter is chapter 6, Madhya Lila chapter 6, the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And I believe it's text 83. 83 and 84 we'll read. Huh? Or 82 and 83. Yeah? Yes. Very good. अनुप्रमाणान हे ईश्वर तत्व जाने Kripa Vineshvare Kahe Nahe Jane. Someone can read that, get the rhythm. Anumana Pramana Nahi Shvara Tattva Jnane. Kripavina Ishvare Kahe Nahi Jane. Anumana Pramana Nahi Ishvara Tattva Jane. Kripa Vina Ishvare Kahe Nahi Jane. Anumane Pramane Nahi Ishvara Tattva Jane. Kripa Vina Ishvare Kahe Nahi Jane. Anumana prane kahi ishvara tattva jnane. Kripa vina ishvare kahi nahi jnane. Anumana prane ishvara tattva jnane. Kripa vina ishvare kaha nahi jane. Matajis? Yeah? No? Okay. So word for word. Anumana pramana.
Anumana pramana.
Evidence by hypothesis.
Evidence by hypothesis.
Nahe.
Nahe.
There is not. Ishvara Tattva Jnane. In the understanding of the Absolute Truth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kripa Vina. Without His mercy. Ishvara. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Keha. Anyone.
Anyone.
Nahi.
Nahi.
Not. Jane.
Jane.
Knows. Translation by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Gopinathacharya continued, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by His mercy, not by guesswork or hypothesis. Please repeat.
Gopinathacharya continued,
one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by His mercy, not by guesswork or hypothesis. Purport. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by exhibiting some mundane logic. Foolish people are enchanted by magical demonstrations. And when we see a few wonderful things done by mystic powers, they accept a magician as the personality of Godhead or incarnation. This is not the way of realization, nor should one guess or speculate about an incarnation of God or the personality of God. One has to learn from the bona fide person or from the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, as Arjuna did. By the mercy of Krishna, Krishna Himself also gives many hints about His potencies as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should understand the personality of Godhead only through the evidence presented by the Shastras and the Mahajans. In any case, one must have the mercy of the Lord in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. So we'll also read text 83, which has no purport. Ishvare kripa rase hayata yahare seta ishvare tattva jani bhare pare. The Acharya continued, "If one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So, this chapter, the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Just some background. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of course, was a great learned scholar. He had many followers. He lived in Jagannath Puri. And so this whole chapter is talking about how Sarvabhauma gets liberated. And it's very clever that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he approached this great personality to have him become, or so make the arrangements so he could become Krishna conscious. But one might ask, why would Sarvabhauma, he had everything. He was very learned. The mystery is that here is someone living right in Jagannath Puri. Huh? So he went and he saw the deities every day, just about. He had Jagannath Prasadam, had all these things going on. And yet, at the same time, he was a Mayavadi. He was an impersonalist. So how is that? How can someone live right in the presence of the Lord, be in the of Jagannath? How many here have been to Jagannath Puri? So a lot. So you know, it's not an ordinary place. It's a fabulous place, and it's very, so much Krishna consciousness is there. And yet, someone can be living there and not understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Huh? Because he was corrupt by this Mayavadi philosophy and this idea of studying the Vedas and trying to interpret the Vedas rather than accepting the Shastra from a bona fide representative of the scripture. So Lord Chaitanya was very clever in making this arrangement for Sarvabhauma to ultimately become liberated. But how was he able to do it? Ultimately, we see as we go through this chapter that it was not by some trickery or some ultimately logical explanation, but it was by mercy. And this is what is being presented in this verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that it's the Lord's mercy that brings us to the point of understanding this personality of God, Krishna. Because the ironic thing is that Lord Chaitanya, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the sannyas, was there right in his own house, and he didn't understand that Lord Chaitanya was God, was the incarnation of God. Can you imagine if today that someone came and was here and we couldn't understand that that was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No? Just think if Lord Chaitanya walked in here, could we, oh, he's a very effulgent person, oh, he's got a lot, but he didn't know. I'd be very embarrassed. I'd be very embarrassed. So, you know, it takes mercy. It takes mercy to understand God. Huh? Kripa. So, Guru Kripa. So, this is a very important thing. And so we never want to forget that we're here by some mercy. Huh? We had special favor from Guru and Krishna. Huh? Special favor by Lord Chaitanya making this very easy process now. I mean, not so easy for us, but relatively speaking, or comparatively speaking, from other past processes of self-realization, this is very easy. So this, we never want to forget that this is mercy-driven. Huh? Krishna consciousness, we are here by some charity, if you will, from the spiritual master. And we remain here by that same charity. We can be driven away very easily. The material nature is so strong. She can take us and say, you don't need to be there right now. It's not that important, you know. You have a long time to live. You can do other things. You can go away. Very clever. She's very, very clever. So we have to be on guard. Always a little bit on guard in Krishna consciousness. That we don't let Maya, the illusory energy, come into our lives. So there's a couple things I thought were worthwhile. That this verse, I think probably everyone knows these two verses, but they're worth reading from the Bhagavad Gita. Matsita madgrata prana bodhayantas parasparam katayantas chamam nityam dushante cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, and their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another and conversing about me. Tesam satatam yuktanam bhajata pritipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam uyupayante. So, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is how mercy comes. By doing a little devotional service, by being engaged in Krishna Katha, talking about Krishna, rendering service to Krishna and to the devotees, then Krishna gives us everything we need to come to him, all the intelligence. It's very nice. So I thought that this is the last day of the year, and it looks like everyone's very tired. They must have had a hard year. Who had a tough year? Anyone? Yeah. It is a tough year. No question. It's always tough in the material world. Welcome to the material world. How about the year before? Anyone had a tough year the year before? Yeah, why not? Yes. It's a How about tough life so far, huh? A little bit? Yeah.
Easy.
Easy, easy. Ah, Jai, Haribo. So, news for you, the material part gets tougher as you get older. So, can't do things that you used to be able to do. But I thought it'd be very good to, because this is the, well, it's the end of a year in you know, our Western civilization. In reality, it's just another day, but we can take these times and make some special... take advantage of them to create some special thoughts for ourselves. So typically people in the Western world, we have the New Year's resolution. Most of it, I'm going to go to the gym and work out and lose weight. So in the material world, it's funny because they always, in January, the gymnasium, the workout rooms, this whatnot, their membership just swells, all right, in January. Yes, I'm going to go join the gym. And by end of February, it's back to normal. It's back to normal. So their commitments are, you know, just kind of fade away a little bit. So, but for us as devotees who are trying, those of us like myself who are just trying to be a devotee, I thought it'd be interesting to maybe look at some of the processes of devotional service and think about them. I was going to read them, and so that we may say, well, latch on to a few of these as something for the next year, the coming year, that I want to practice or just embrace a little bit more. And, oh, maybe I might have forgot about that one and didn't do that. And yet, so these are processes that were originally given by Sanatana Goswami, and then of course Rupa Goswami sort of narrowed it down there to 64 of them. And so I'll go through them in 2 seconds, but no, it'll take a couple minutes. But I think they're worth noting. Some are more important than others, also Rupa Goswami explains, and especially the first ones. And so the first one he points out is accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. So As the year comes, we may say, we may make our vows again to our spiritual master, to accept our spiritual master, and the lotus feet of the spiritual master. The second is becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. So, you know, think again and listen to the words of our spiritual master of how to discharge devotional service. Am I doing it correctly? Am I doing it right, or am I just doing it? Well, because we want to do it right. The whole point of being here is to do things right, do it correctly. We've done things wrong. That's why we're in the material world, because we've done wrong things. Now we want to do right things. So that's important. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. So it's not just, okay, I'm going to follow, I'm going to do what you say. It's not like that. It's with faith and devotion, understanding that the spiritual master has come and given us an opportunity, has opened our eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. Special thing, isn't it? It's not an ordinary thing. I wasn't here because I had a gob of relatives here that have come down, and we have a nice, by Krishna's grace, we have a nice temple room in my house, and so that's set up very nicely, and we try. And so my father-in-law is there, and he's, you know, and he sees it. Oh yeah, that's interesting. You know, it's like, wow. Boy, you're missing out. You want to sit down and have a little kirtan? But at least we gave him a whole bunch of prasadam. A lot of prasadam. So, but they don't have the special favor. You know, I can just see. When I was in Vrindavan, a couple of years ago. You were there, Sangatakur, at that time. I had this little realization. I was giving a talk in Prabhupada's quarters, and I was talking about mercy, and I remember I used an example that struck me. I was sitting there during the Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, and they have a line. There's so many people that want to come through the temple that they just keep the rope up. And during class, the people are walking by and to get darshan of the deities. And they're going on, and so we're sitting in class, and we're relishing this, and we're understanding and learning this about Krishna, about Krishna consciousness, and we've gotten this benediction from the spiritual master, and all these people, they're robotically going by and seeing the deities, and they don't have that mercy. And it's like, wow, you know, so unfortunate, you know. They're just doing it because their mother said you got to go do it, or their father said you got to do it, or something like that. In most cases, I don't want to be too general, but there was definitely a difference. Here's the devotee sitting down, relishing the nectar of Bhagavatam, and they're just, you know, passing by. So, number four is following the footsteps of the great acharyas. Teachers under the direction of the spiritual master. So, you know, that's our example. We try. So that's a nice one to try to make a resolution to maybe follow the acharyas a little bit more. Number five, inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we ask questions. How can I advance? So maybe I'm going to ask more questions of my spiritual master this year. How I can advance more. So being inquiring, submissively, we know that verse. So number six, being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Number seven, residing in a sacred place or pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan. So we reside here. It's very nice. This has become a spiritual place because Krishna is being worshipped here. And it's a spiritual place because there are sadhus that come here and they make it saintly. So that's special. So maybe we want to make sure that we live here. So during the year, I could go live in, you know, I don't know, Honolulu, pick a place. No, I want to live where there's devotees in some special place. You know, don't get distracted and say, oh, I want to go live someplace else. So we want to live here. Accepting only what is necessary, or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. So not to get too entangled. That's always a good one to remember. Observing the fasting on Ekadasi is number 9. And number 10, worshiping sacred trees like the banyan tree. I forgot all about the banyan tree. Well, it's considered a sacred tree. Anyone know why? No? I'm not exactly sure myself. So that would be one to find out. I didn't have time before this class to find out, but I put it on my list. Why it's sacred. So those are the 10 preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service in regulated principles. So then there's a next set that go, and it says one should rigidly give up the company of non-devotees. So am I have too much company with non-devotees? I can tell you, I just had a whole bunch of company of non-devotees, and it was too much. It was way too much. I was happy yesterday. I took the last one to the airport. It was like, you know. So one should not instruct a person who is not desirous of accepting devotional service. So that's also can be very frustrating, you know. So be careful in how we present Krishna consciousness and to who we present Krishna consciousness. If they're not ready, they're not ready. Just give them some prasadam, you know, and send them on their way. One should be very enthusiastic. One should not be very enthusiastic about constructing costly temples and monasteries. So that's also one. We want to be enthusiastic about distributing Krishna consciousness. Jai. So we have such a shining example sitting in the back there of one who wants to distribute books all the time. So it's very special. One should not try to read too many books, or should not develop the idea of earning his livelihood by lecturing on a professional or professionally reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So that's also a stickler. Someone can get too much want to be the commentator of everything. And that's not necessary. So one should want to check that. One should not be neglectful of ordinary dealings. So we take care of things. One should not be under the spell of lamentation in loss or jubilation in gain. So again, I'm going to be equally disposed. That's the situation there. So we want to be like that. one should not disrespect the demigods. This goes without saying. One should not give unnecessary trouble to any living entity. That's also very important. We don't want our business is not to be the purveyor or the giver of pain to others. Material world will do that on its own. We want to encourage other devotees. We want to say good things about devotees and encourage them. See their good qualities and tell them about their good qualities. Remind them. Well, one devotee told me in Vrindavan, he said, boy, your chanting japa is so nice. I just like to sit next to you when you're chanting. It's this little stupid thing. I mean, it's not stupid, but it was like, and I was happy. I was like, wow, that's very nice. I'm doing something right. I do so many things wrong. This is one thing maybe I do right. So don't forget to encourage and compliment the devotee if they're doing some nice service. It's a good thing. One should be careful to avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name or in worshiping the deity in the temple. goes without saying. One should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. So that's obviously a very important point. And we don't want to listen to this nonsense. So the next items, that one should decorate the body with tilak, which is a sign of the Vaishnavas. And we know why we do that, because the body, Krishna is within our body. We have two reasons. One is we want to remember ourselves that the body is a temple for God. And also, two, we want people to see, oh, why are you wearing that funny yellow clay on your head? It's so much, it gives a nice discussion if someone asks like that. So I prefer this as a temporary tattoo. That is what I say. It's a temporary tattoo. In making such tilak, sometimes one may write Hare Krishna on the body. So you can take that tilak, we got a whole bunch of it, and you can write Hare Krishna on your body. That's kind of neat. One should accept flowers and garlands that have been offered to the deity and the spiritual master and put them on their body. So thank you very much for that. Hare Krishna. One should learn to dance before the deity. So those who are not dancing, you might want to think about dancing a little bit more. It's a good thing. Huh? That's a good thing. I remember I used to, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, His Grace, he used to be such a dancer. We would have kirtans in Washington, D.C., and it would be just, you know, and I would try to keep up. I would do my best. Back then, I could dance a little bit. But it's so blissful. I mean, sweat pouring off your body, you're just dripping with it, and you're chanting ecstatically. It's nice, and it's also a good aerobic exercise, too. Hare Krishna. So, one should learn to bow down immediately upon seeing the deity or the spiritual master. Goes without saying. As soon as one visits a temple of Lord Krishna, one must stand up. So you bow down and then you stand up. When the deity is being borne for a stroll in the streets, the devotee should immediately follow the procession. So when the deities come out, there's sometimes a procession, like for Rath Yatra, immediately take part in that. Devotees should visit a Vishnu temple at least once or twice every day, morning and evening. So that's a good point to remember. All those at home today, this is one thing you might want to think about. Visit the temple once or twice every day. Even if you don't come during class or that, you can't come for some reason or another, then come to the temple every day and see the deities. That's good. And I'm going to follow that too, because I haven't done that in a couple of days. It's like, I read this last night and I said, boy, you're an idiot. Why are you not following this? Okay, so that's why I'm reading this, so we can remember these little things. One must circumambulate the temple building at least 3 times. Oh yeah, that's, it's a practice of devotional service. So, good thing to remember. One must worship the deity in the temple according to the regulative principles. So offering arti and prasadam, decorating the deity, those things regularly. So one must render devotional service or personal service to the deity. So something special that we can do for the deities. Even if we're not the pujari, that we do that. Just like Sesha is always over there sewing, making some clothes patiently every day. I see him hiding, but he's doing it. That's a nice example. One must sing. Oh, okay. That's an easy one for us, I think. All right. One must perform sankirtan. Okay. One must chant. One must offer prayers. One must recite notable prayers. One must taste mahaprasadam. Anyone that's going to work on that one? Okay. So that's good. One must drink charanamrita. Okay, so I should make sure I do that. One must smell the incense and flowers offered to the deities. One must touch the lotus feet of the deities. One must see the deities with great devotion. One must offer arati at different times. One must hear about the Lord and his pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita and similar books. Nasta Preshya Abradishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So every day, if we read Srimad Bhagavatam or hear it, chant it, the inauspicious things within the heart go away. It's a fact. That's what it's for. It's to help us. You know, we become purified. All the sages of Navisharanya sat there and listened to this. You know, all these things. Very special. You know, very special to give that as well. One must pray to the deity for mercy. Again, this mercy concept, kripa. We need to ask for the mercy sometimes. You know, we need to go after. Prabhupada told me one time, there's a thing that, he actually yelled it at me. He said, you must be aggressive for Krishna. You have to go after Krishna. You have to go after the mercy. And, it stuck with me so much that, all right, okay. Actually, I was asking how to become humble, and he looked at me and he asked one devotee to give one answer. He said, you must be like a lion. Prabhupada said, you must be like a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. And he knew I wasn't satisfied, so he's leaning over. He looks, he says, you must be aggressive for Krishna. And he yelled it, and everybody just, oh my God. You know, it was like a big wind of, a ball of fire just, flew across the room and hit me right in the head. You know. Okay. So anyway. One must pray to the deity for mercy. One should remember the deity. So make sure that we're remembering the deity during the day, our daily activities. One should meditate upon the deity. One should render some voluntary service. So maybe some extra service we can do. One should think of the Lord as one's friend. Again, that's very important. Krishna's our friend. He's not our enemy. He's not our oppressive father. He's not the policeman. He's our friend. He pops down to this material world every once in a while just to help us. And he comes in the form, and he comes through his representative, the spiritual master, to help us. A very special friend. He's our best friend. One should offer everything to the Lord. One should offer a favorite article, such as food or a garment. One should take all kinds of risk and perform all endeavors for Krishna's benefit. So anyone who's been a book distributor knows there's a little bit of risk sometimes there, but it's rewarded. Every time we take a chance for Krishna, we go out or preaching in some way, taking that risk for Krishna, special mercy there. In every condition, one should be a surrendered soul. And one should pour water on the Tulsi tree. One should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and similar literature. One should live in a sacred place like Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. So that's kind of a repeat of one earlier. One should offer service to the Vaishnavas, the devotees. So very important to keep serving the devotees in various ways. One should arrange one's devotional service according to one's means. In the month of Kartik, October and November, one should make arrangements for special services. During Janmashtami, one should observe a special service. One should do whatever is done with great care and devotion for the deity. And one should, let's see, where are we at? We're pretty close. One should relish the pleasure of the Bhagavatam reading among devotees and not among outsiders. So we don't have to worry about this so much, but in India, a lot of times you'll hear these professional reciters and they're reading Srimad Bhagavatam to you and all that sort of thing. So only with devotees. One should associate with devotees who are considered more advanced. So just like in sports, if you want to advance in a certain sport, like golf, you want to play with a better player, or tennis, you want to play with a better player because it'll help you become better. Okay, you see how they do things. So the same thing with devotees. We want to associate with more advanced devotees whenever we have the opportunity. Take advantage of their association. Special thing. One should chant the holy name of the Lord. Oh, that's kind of, all right, we're doing that. So hopefully we're chanting it as purely as possible. And one should live in the jurisdiction of Mathura. So a lot of living in the holy place. So if we can't live there all the time, live there whenever we can. Go visit the holy place of pilgrimage. Such a special, if we think that, I was just thinking this morning of the Ramanreti. This is called New Ramanreti, but you know, the real Ramanreti. Why? Is where Krishna and Balaram ran around and played with the cows and the calves. You know, wow. How special is that? You know, just so special. So there you go. There's 64 things. And there's a bunch more, actually. But that's something to think about. And maybe during this coming year, that there's something that we want to make a vow to do, a New Year's resolution, something in devotional service that we weren't doing that we may want to do. And that will help us advance, and we can take advantage of this New Year thing. And hopefully it's not like going to the gym and we forget about it by the end of February, that we can carry it with us for the rest of our lives. Jai. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Considered to be liberated from the conception that he had before. Of course, we know he's the eternal surgeon of Lord Chaitanya, and he's just acting but the act that he's presenting is that of a monist, you know. When he sees the deities as a monist, he's seeing no difference between himself and the deity. Because he's seeing that the deity is just a manifestation of Brahman, and he thinks he's also the same. So the whole conception of bhakti is not there. And we know that when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was introduced to Lord Chaitanya, it was because when Lord Chaitanya saw the deities, he fainted and was in ecstasy. So this was a very big surprise to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he felt this was an unusual thing. So he considered that Lord Chaitanya must be cheating, because he couldn't understand the position of a great devotee. So he placed some cotton swab by the nose,
right,
and then he could see that there was some movement. So then he, we have to study this person, because this is something we have never seen before. And then he takes him to his quarters, and then we know the story. Then he starts to teach Vedanta Sutra to Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
So when an impersonalist comes and sees the deities, they don't see the same as the devotee. So to be free from that conception is liberation.
Yes.
Because Mayavad philosophy is a bondage. It's not liberation. It's a type of liberation, Prabhupada said, but it's a type that we reject, because it's denying the association, denying the service of Krishna.
And it's not eternal.
It's not eternal. It's not eternal because you cannot maintain it. It's considered liberating because you're actually part. You're merged with the supreme absolute truth. To some in one aspect,
yes.
But because you cannot maintain it, it's considered inferior.
Sorry.
But some Paramahamsas, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that great Paramahamsas, they're able to merge within the Brahman, but does not mean that they're Vaishnavas.
Yes.
So they're able to maintain that position, you know. So in China, when I was in China for a long time, everyone is Buddhist. They refer to the soul. The word for soul is ling fun. Ling means zero, and fun means particle. A particle of nothing. This is the idea of the impersonalist. This is the idea of the impersonalist. In the Vaishnava, he's saying it's part and parcel of God. And the impersonalist is thinking that he's thinking only of the quality that we have are the same. The coin, the gold coin and the gold mountain, they're both saying, well, we're both God. We're both gold.
Yes.
So it's complete. It's great liberation to be freed from such a conception. I remember when I was a young boy, I had a friend who thought he was God. And I thought he was really enjoying himself, and he was very happy like that. So I started to think, I'll try to take on this idea too. And I remember a whole summer, I had the idea that I was God. When I see the sun, I'd say, you know, that's my son. And I'd see, oh, they're breathing my air, and all these people are here to serve me. And I had a really good summer.
How's that working for you now?
And then I was hitchhiking, and some lady in a beautiful Volkswagen bus, she had it all set up like a, you know, like a little house. And she was going to Mexico, and she picked me up, and she said, oh, I'm going to Mexico. And I said, oh, that's nice. I'd love to go to Mexico. And then she said, oh, do you have a, I said, do you have a beautiful truck? She said, oh, yeah, I work. I said, she says, what do you do? I said, I don't do anything. I just go around and people give me things. She said, well, I work very hard for this van. Get out. And then I realized, oh, this doesn't work. You know, so the impersonalists, they're thinking like this.
It's a good point. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Thank you.
Jai.
Anyone else? Any questions, comments? Sanya Tagore?
Just the thing, when I pray, I come up with like conflicting thoughts sometimes because I realize how much Krishna is already giving me mercy. I'm just, my whole life, devotional service is all mercy. So then when I pray for mercy, I feel like I'm ungrateful. But I realize I'm a beggar, I have to. So it's interesting, the different vision or feelings. It doesn't stop me from praying, but sometimes I feel guilty.
Well, how can you not feel guilty but and not feel blessed at the same time?
Yeah.
You see, that's devotee, humble Vaishnavas, look at the Goswamis, how they acted and how they lived their lives. And Rupa Goswami was always felt conflicted in that because of what his past life was, what he had done. So he would always felt, you know, very, how do you say, not inadequate, but just, you know, having lived with the materialist and served them and that sort of thing. So he always felt himself just totally unworthy. So we'll have these feelings and we'll carry them with us. But we'll also feel the blessings of Krishna. We need to become humble and we need to stay humble. And we probably need to be about 1,000 times more humble than we are now. At least I know in my case. I can't speak for you because I know you're a nice, humble devotee. But we have nothing to be proud of in our material existence. The only thing to be proud of is that we have association with pure devotee. So, like that. So, that's, you'll feel that. You'll be conflicted. We'll be that way. You know, it's just our, it's just the existence. We're gonna, within the material world, the soul is living within the material world. It's going to experience duality. We'll always experience duality while we're in the material world, because that's the nature of the prakriti. It's the nature of the nature, if you will. Duality is always there. And so we're going to experience duality because we have this subtle body and it's going to be getting these things coming in, okay? Our mind, all right? So make sure that it's the right kind of conflicting things and make sure that it's the one is getting stronger, that's all. So, yes, Prabhu.
Just a very small point about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he by Sastra, he knew the symptoms of Mahaprabhu because he knew what was Adirud Mahabhav and he knew that no ordinary person could have this. The pandas in the temple, they didn't know, so they were going to beat Mahaprabhu. So because he knew this, he knew, you know, to take him to his house, and he even knew how to test to see if he was in this kind of bhav by putting the cotton before his mouth, before his nose. He also knew by sastra all the symptoms of bhakti, but by practice, they did not practice those things. That's why when Mahaprabhu, after he had delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which also he delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because Mahaprabhu's Leela is also meant to give an opportunity to all of those who could not come into Vrindavan Leela, Braj Leela, a chance to taste the sweetness of that mood. So all the associates, like the four Kumaras, the Pandavas, in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's case, he's Brihaspati. He gave all the chance to come into his Leela, and he would deliver that kind of praying to them in Mahaprabhu's Leela. So Mahaprabhu told at the end, all things to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I have one friend, which is how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew all these things about Bhav. I have one friend you should meet. Who is that friend? Ramananda Roy. So he had heard all these things before, but he had not realized them. So now in Mahaprabhu's presence, all the things that he had heard from Ramananda Roy, his good friend, now all these things came in his heart. So Mahaprabhu's Leela is meant to give all of these sweet moods to all the associates of Vishnu who do not have the opportunity to come into Braja Leela.
Well, Gopinath Acharya was his brother-in-law.
Yes.
Okay, so he had all this associated. That's why I say, it's like, how can this be? Other than it's a Leela. But how can he be living in such an arrangement and yet not be liberated, as you say? But one of the things that Gopinath Acharya chastised him for is that you read all the Shastras, but you don't read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm. And so the Mayavadis, they don't read the Bhagavatam. They don't accept, just like and the Bhagavad Gita per se. It's just like that. What was it, Maharishi? Remember, he translated the Bhagavad Gita, the first six chapters only, because from then on it's you're talking specifically about devotional service and being a bhakta. So yeah, but it's good. I think we're late, so we'll go. So thank you, Kesha, for anything? No. All the way to Shiva Prabhupada. How do you do that?